we must understand is within the context of the integrated water resources planning in this country, the infrastructure development projects that are there, the conditions of our existing infrastructure, then also in terms of the dam safe rehabilitation and refurbishment program, also what we look in terms of the strategic access to basic services in use of dam, and then the regional health infrastructure plans. Now, to put into perspective, Chairperson, the water cycle or the water value chain in South Africa, that we must understand that we do have the catchments, rivers, and also the groundwater, and the aspect that was referred to in terms of the catchment management agencies, in terms of the institutions, what they should be doing is the management of those particular catchments, and also in terms of the water users associations, in terms of the institution that that are informed under the National Water Act of 1998. Then what is most important for this presentation is about the transfer, storage, and extraction. And here the role of the Department of Water Affairs and TCDA, regional water utilities, and then the local government comes into play, and also to an extent of the Water Users Association. Then the raw water treatment is where mostly your water services authorities, also your water entities like your water boards, and then your distribution, that is more the municipal level, your bulk, your reticulation, and your wastewater treatment, and then the wastewater treatment, and then back into the catchment. And you can see that there's a whole cycle in terms of the water value chain in South Africa. Now, the planning in the department is currently done by the Integrated Water Source Planning. They are the custodians in terms of making sure that the planning been done for all the current 19 water use water management areas in South Africa, and in view of the National Water Resources Strategy. And then also they propose then the kind of intervention, the various options to address where there are deficits within this within the water management areas, and then what kind of reconciliation strategies are needed to make sure that we deal with deficits. Currently we do have reconciliation strategies for South Africa. That work was completed, and also most of the old town studies have been completed for South Africa, and these are available, Jefferson, from the department, from the planning chief director, and then that lead them and inform the infrastructure development that are needed for the rigorous planning process. If one can look at the infrastructure that's been developed, if you look at the historical perspective, Jefferson, that over the last, we can say, 6 to 7 years, the department have invested 6.6 billion rand in terms of infrastructure development, ranging from a major augmentation scheme for the Western Cape, particularly city of Cape Town, to a major infrastructure for energy generation on the Western Highveld, and for the liquid fuel industry in terms of the Vaal River e-subsystem augmentation project in the vicinity of 2.6 billion rand. Most of these particular projects are either for economic development and also for domestic water supply. Currently, in terms of the outcome-based approach that my colleague, the acting DG, was referred to, we have six major projects on the government program in terms of its outcomes in terms of service delivery for South Africa. The one is, if I can start from north to south and then to west, we currently are busy with the Olifants River Water Resources Development Project, the Dwarf Dam. That's in the vicinity of about 2.5 billion rand, and that will provide 40 million cubic meters of water for domestic use, and also 40 million cubic meters of water for mining, and there's a direct jobs of 800. The project by itself in nature consists of phase 2A. Phase 1 was completed in terms of the raising of Flag the Shero Dam. That was 2.5 billion, as I said, and then the distribution network and all its associated distribution network that I would indicate later in terms of in total, that will be about the total project value will be 16 billion rands, and supply mostly water with on the Nebo Plateau in the Greater Sibukuni District municipality up north to Polokwane. The other project that is on our project on the books is the Komati Water System Augmentation Project. This is water for Eskom in terms of the new starting up of the new power stations, in particular the old mothball power stations. That will be a facility of about 54 million cubic meters of water, and here we create direct jobs of 466. Then we have the Vaal River Eastern Subsystem Augmentation Project, as I've mentioned. This is 96 million cubic meters of water for Eskom and 64 million cubic meters of water per annum to Sasol. And the project is now in its final phase of completion, and officially the inlet works will be opened by the minister. Then we have, in terms of KZN, we have the Moyengeni transfer scheme. That's for domestic water supply to Atikwini, Ngumunluvu, Mzunduzi municipalities, and also Ilembe and one or two other municipalities. If the negotiations is successful, but there is still one or two minor issues that we must sort out with the two of the other minor municipalities that can be done, Jefferson. The water is 60 million cubic meters of water for domestic use for the municipalities that I've indicated, 450 job creation. In the second phase of water augmentation for the greater Atikwini municipality, metro municipality is the raising of the Hazelmere Dam, 10 million cubic meters of water. That is also for domestic water use, particularly the northern part of Durban that I'm spending as a reference rate. Then we are planning to raise the Clenwilliam Dam here in the Western Cape that will provide an additional 17 million cubic meters of water of the existing infrastructure, and that's for mostly for irrigation. Now, if you look at the projects per se, the project, the one on top that I've not talked about in terms of, just in terms of the major projects, if we can just go one slide back. Can we just go one slide back? Yeah. Then the other one that I didn't mention, and I apologize, is the Makolo Crocodile River West Augmentation Project. This is 7 million cubic meters of water for Eskom, particularly for the Matupi Power Station, and 5 million cubic meters of water for domestic water supply in the water belt system municipality of the municipality, in particular for the town of Lapalale, for the domestic use. If one look at the project, the province, the beneficiaries, the total cost, the available budget, and then the 2011 or the MTF deliverable, then the Makolo that we plan to complete that in 2013 in terms of the requirements of Eskom for the power stations is a total cost of 2 billion, and for the water component part of the water services part, we've got about 500 million from Treasury, and the rest will be raised from loans from the capital market, and we plan to commence with the construction in September this year. The Vaal River East Subsystem Augmentation Project, from Melanda, as I've indicated, Eskom and Sasol, and 2.7 billion, and it will be fully commissioned by July this year. The raising of the Hazelmere Dam, Bend and Tuquini Metro Municipality. That is 160 million. We start with that. The end of this year, we're planning to complete by 2012. And we're in stages of preparing the design, awarding the tender to the supplier of the necessary infrastructure. The raising of the Hazelwood, the raising of the Canoonium Dam, its completion for 2016. Currently, the total cost that we've calculated in terms of the project, the net present value, stands at 1.9 billion. And within the NGF, we have the money of 159 million. And we commence with the design within the coming financial year. The Komati system, Komati Water Scheme Compensation Project in Pumalanga, the completion date is for 2013. It's for the energy, the cost is 1.7 billion, and it will be commenced in the first quarter of 2011, and it will be raised by loans from the capital market. The Moengeni Transfer Scheme, or the Spring Grove Dam and Pipeline System, located in the completion date is set for 2013 to make sure that we augment in terms of the 2014 deadline, so in terms of the planning and the reconciliation studies that the Etiquini Metro Municipality does not run into a deficit or water concerns by 2014. And that is for domestic and industrial users. It will be costed 1.6 billion and it will be raised by loans in the capital market, and construction will also be started during this particular financial year. The early funds, River Water Resources Development Project, the project 2A2H, there was a component chairperson I on this particular project. There was the Tubaxi pump storage scheme. Then ESCOM informed us that it's not capital, they don't have the funds available, so therefore it was deferred to a later stage in terms of that particular pump storage, the pump storage to augment South Africa's energy supply. So we only talk now from 2A to 2H, and the pump storage has basically been at the moment has been shelved until such time that it will be built on this particular scheme. But the design is such that it can be formed part, it can be part of that later on, it can be implemented to the pump storage project. It's in Limpopo. As I've indicated, this is the work dam and then the power distribution network. And we're planning to finish the work dam by 2012, it's next year, and we will start with the impoundment of the dam the coming rainy season, during October, so to speak, in terms of the design of the infrastructure, the planning there. And the bulk distribution system by completion by 2014. And this is where we still have a major challenge in terms of the budget, in terms of the particular shortfall. We see that how best we can in terms of our funding model, in terms of the social component, how we can get the resources in terms of our allocations to Treasury. That's also a component thereof in raising in terms of from the capital markets, where the mine from that portion of the project is fully utilized. This is an illustration in terms of this particular mega project. As I've indicated, the water services development to the distribution, the red is the pipelines. The existing bulk water pipeline is in black. So you can see that there's a major shortage of distribution of water supply to communities and to for the other development within this particular area. This is one of South Africa's richest platinum mine deposits. After the customer belt, the Tulipon corridor has been showcased as South Africa's next mean that we will supply as far north as Polokwane, but we indicated in also Mokopane. And this is the whole extent in terms of the 16 billion rand investment project that they have within the status of the Kuni Desert Municipality, and even beyond that in terms of the Capricorn District Municipality. In terms of the existing infrastructure, Chairperson, and this is one of the questions that was raised yesterday in terms of the TALF. In terms of the calculation of the TALF for South Africa, we have to understand in terms of the assets. We have a comprehensive asset register for South Africa in terms of all our infrastructure. And also, most of our infrastructure is integrated systems. Particularly if you look from the east, the eastern part of South Africa into more or less the central, the whole power system is augmented also from the Utugela and the Usutu system out of KwaZulu Natal. And that was being done in terms of the asset verification that was required in terms of the AG's requirement, but also in terms of the department to understand its existing infrastructure. You can see that in terms of the major infrastructure in South Africa, it's more to the north and to the east of the country in terms of its water availability. But there are still potential for development in this particular areas of South Africa. So this is a distribution pattern of all the major assets in terms of our infrastructure within the country, and this is mostly in terms of the various trading accounts that we have that, but obviously there is some refinement that we have to do with regard to this project that we've done. But this project basically ran from 2007 to 2009 in terms of the asset verification and validation in South Africa. Now, out of this, Chairperson, we have...
Sorry, I'm a bit stupid, but what does the dots represent? So this is our asset base.
These are the assets.
This one is integrated and one is bulk. So what do these dots represent? They represent dams.
They represent dams. They represent weirs,
source of water
infrastructure.
That's the blue of the rivers.
Yeah.
Those are all sources.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I would say to you is this excludes the measuring facilities. If we have, in terms of the floods now, if I may explain that, we've got physical infrastructure that we measure the inflow in terms of what we call the monitoring stations in South Africa. That by itself, we will also, on the slide in terms of the flood, presentation, we can show you in terms of the monitoring measuring stations, in terms of the flows of the river, so that by that we know in terms of what is the volume, what is the flow, and all of the available water within the system. So that by itself is what we call the main account, some of the measuring stations that we have. So and that's not reflected on this. If you put a superimposer onto this major infrastructure, then it's going to be very blurred and very multiple. But we will provide you also with that. And so that is also available in terms of all the other systems in South Africa. A summary of the extent of the values of the immovable assets, and this is where, in terms of the presentation of Ms. Mate yesterday, in terms of the water trading entity, the account, in terms of the infrastructure side, we are not talking about the catchment management side, but the infrastructure side, in terms of the project that we've completed, is that we've got a number of buildings, canals, dams, and weirs, measuring facilities, we've got the pipelines, pump stations, reservoirs, treatment works, tunnels, etc. And the total current replacement value across that we felt it was 140, close to 147 billion rand worth of replacement costs. In terms of, so $1.2 billion, and escrow is $128 billion if you look in terms of that. So we are there with the tops in South Africa. And really the question that you've asked yesterday and the comment that you've made this morning is very fundamental in terms of how do one manage, how do is the institutional issues in place, or what can be done in terms of this whole infrastructure management in South Africa. Because the economy of South Africa depends on this particular infrastructure. If I always use to people a simple analogy, you could have in the morning to call a switch, a quick switch, because it's not for the water supply that we give to these particular strategic resources. I've like Eskom. I've always remember my engagement was with the CEO of Eskom. I was saying you can grand plan all your power stations and whatever you need, but if you don't have the water, if you never have the water, then we cannot get 1 kilowatt out of that particular power station. So what my colleague the HG was saying also yesterday, we must not see water and your comments also as something that we take for granted. It is a strategic resource of South Africa, and the infrastructure that we manage in this particular slide is very critical in terms of the infrastructure that we manage, and it's crisscrossing all over the country. And as I say, that a strategic piece of infrastructure like the Vaal Dam, the augmenting from various kind of systems in South Africa, and the pieces of infrastructure that is being put in place in other provinces feed through the Vaal system, 6 provinces, for instance. And for us, moving water around is one of the most sophisticated infrastructures in the world, and a lot of people are interested in terms of how South Africa is managing, and also its infrastructure, and how do we make sure that the water supply in those particular areas that are very short on water, we get the water to those places and communities. If out of this chairperson, then you have a challenge, or say you have your pieces of infrastructure that we built in a particular period or in time. And the original capital cost, if you look at then at 2008, when we had then the asset verification in terms of what is required of us in terms of the modern SCAR principles that was SCAR and what the AG wanted from us, and this was successfully validated by the file. So you can see that most of South Africa's infrastructure was constructed between 1960 and 1990. So we have here about the 1990s, so you've got most of your infrastructure is about between, you can say, 20 to 50 years old. So that by itself then say that in terms of the capital cost there was then put in that particular period was a substantial investment into the infrastructures in South Africa. And that by itself is then breakdown in the various categories of the infrastructure that I've provided. And in total, the highest investment was during the 80s, that were in the vicinity of 40 billion. If you look at the replacement values, the age profile, again, it's mirrored the in terms of the replacement value, that in terms of the infrastructure that now we have to invest in terms of this, that the age profile in terms of the original capital cost versus the replacement value, that was also then, if we have to now 30 years in terms of replacement cost, that we also have to invest substantially in terms of our infrastructure. The remaining useful life, you can see that some of our infrastructure is getting close to its maximum use. In particular, we only get about, some of them we got 20 to 30 years, and then there is very few infrastructure in South Africa. They've got a remaining useful life of, you can say, of more than 50 years, if one interprets that. And then the capital replacement cost associated with that is huge. So therefore, the issues in terms of the pricing strategy, getting the financial models or the funding model right in terms of getting for the building infrastructure in South Africa 18 of them are listed in terms of the ICAL, that is the International Commission of Large Dams, World Register of Large Dams, and at we have 161 dams that we've identified in terms of the Dam Safety Rehabilitation Program for rehabilitation. Rehabilitation work to date, we've completed 22 dams, 36 dams in various stages of feasibility study, detailed design and construction. We have classified 45 dams as high priority in terms of the rehabilitation and servicing work that must be done, and 22 of them already have been completed, and 36 is then being in terms of then we will complete the 45 high priority dams, and then we proceed from the highest priority to the lowest priority that we do the dam safety rehabilitation program. I must add, Jefferson, there are a number of these are dams owned dams. There are a number of private owned dams in terms of farms, etc. You know, earth dams and whatever. And the Dam Safety Office, in terms of their oversight role, in terms of the National Water Act, in terms of dam safety, there's about from very small dams. And what we do have is we have categories of dam. Categories of dam is category 1, category 2, and category 3. Category 1 dams is old dams with 5 meters and less. And then you get the category 2 dams is from 5 to 20, and then the rest is a big.
The dams we have is either you own it or the private owned. There's no municipalities that own that own dams.
There are a couple like the city of Cape Town. You know, if you look at Tiwata's Kloof, for instance, and what's the other one? There's one or two that do. There are many. Some of them are.
There are
many municipalities that do have. But this is the issue in terms of asset management. You know, in terms of dam safety, all of them are listed in the requirements in terms of dam safety regulations. And obviously, it is their responsibility in terms of what is required in terms of the dam safety regulations, in terms of rehabilitation, in terms of the safety standards that we prescribe, in terms of the dam safety regulations, what we must do in terms of on a continual basis. We, on a 5-year cycle, we do the dam safety inspections on all of these dams and collect comprehensive reports on them. That maybe that some of, in terms of the major floods in particular, and maybe in some of the earth dams, but this is a verification for the dam safety, is that what is the status of some of them now with major downfall in terms of the northern parts of South Africa. But in total, it's plus minus 4,000 that are there in terms of the overall dam safety requirements registered in terms of the registration in South Africa. And all of them have to comply with the dam safety regulation and continue updates. Now, in terms of the rehabilitation,
we only pay for maintenance, and we only deal with the forward in the department.
In the department, in terms of
municipalities, the person, although they can be approved and standards for it,
yes.
It's not our responsibility.
In
terms of maintenance and so on.
Yes. Then safety office prescribes to them what they must do, and then in terms of that, they have to do it in terms of the necessity. And because the minister's custodian of all the water and so on, and the requirements they have. Now, the rehabilitation work that we've done, Chairperson, is mostly in terms of insufficient spillway capacity when this particular infrastructure was built. And if you look at the age profile of the infrastructure, that clear that not many of the dams were designed for, say, if you have a 1 in 200 year flood, then that spillway capacity, if I may, Maclean's term, explain. Cannot then all the water that is coming into that infrastructure cannot be diverted, the excess water, not to compromise the structural stability of the infrastructure. So that is what we have done in terms of most of the infrastructure, that when there's a major flood coming, and that infrastructure can handle the flood and deflect it over the spillways, and then it doesn't, you know, overtop and structure can wash away. So that is what is, and 80% of the pieces of infrastructure of the 161 that I've mentioned is with regards to that. Then we have 10% of the dams of D1 dams with slope stability problems, and that is, many of them have already been rehabilitated, particularly those ones in Limpopo and some of them in the Eastern Cape. Because of the size of the presentation, Jefferson, but I do have photos if you want me to show you, that I can show you in terms of what after the presentation, in terms of the kind of habitation, but it's major work in terms of what we do in terms of the infrastructure. And then inadequate maintenance resulting from dam safety problems, you know, there was a number of them that, you know, with not proper maintenance over a number of years, and that is rectified. And then foundation, geological foundation problems, that was 10%. And then in most of the other dams, there were also problems also in some of the outlet works system, you know, that we have to replace some pipes, and also to make sure that the outlets are properly functioning and that we get the water out of the infrastructure in terms of water requirements, what's been there in terms of the releases that must be out of the piece of infrastructure. Now, the spending per financial here, the project started basically, we've got the money from Treasury more or less 2005, 2006, and then we've gradually increased the spending with the project, and we have spent, the biggest spending to date was 2008, 2009, where we've spent about, in the vicinity of about 350 million in that one particular year. So progressively we've increased spending on the dam safety rehabilitation program. The total expenditure until September last year was 1.2 billion that we've spent, and the dams on the program thus far, as I said, is 58 that we continue now on making sure that we have the dam safety program moving. The strategy on access to water for basic use. One of the main challenges, Jefferson, and this came out, will also come out of the region above, is that we want to supply rural communities that are living close to our infrastructure with water, sufficient safe water. This is a matter that we've given urgent attention since last year, so that we could fulfill our mandate. And GRAPID has identified a number of communities that live close to the dams that we keep them access, and also identify the type of service that we do have. And we have already, in terms of the medium-term expenditure framework, allocated money on that, but also in terms of some of our bids that we presented to the National Treasury. One or two were successful, others were not successful due to financial constraints. And we are determined to go ahead, Jefferson, in terms of looking at the level of service that must be provided, so that we motivate in terms of our you know, in terms of the region above, and also in terms of the water services. So that we must make sure that in terms of the Millennium Development Goals, that everybody in South Africa is provided with water. And we further determine the estimated capital and operational cost for the supply. If I could just give you an example, Jefferson, in terms of the kind of resources that's been required, that for Josini Dam or the old Mulapur Dam, we needed about 1 billion rand to supply all the communities there, and we've only got plus minus 100 million in terms of that. So there are some challenges that one do have in terms of the constraints or the pressure on some of the national fiscus with regard to that, and that is why the aspect is that how best looking at the funding for infrastructure development in South Africa is very critical. Now, the majority of the dams identified are in the southern operations, that is the Eastern Cape and Western Cape, with the northern operations, that brings the Limpopo and Mpumalanga then the central operations. And we've identified already the kind of needs that are there, and we already fit it into the regional bulk submissions that goes to national treasury in terms of the supply of the communities out of this particular infrastructure. I'm not sure as well in terms of the approach that we are doing, because it is more internal in terms of the approach, the project flow, in terms of where we are. So that is just what this particular slide described in terms of phase one, determining the dams and communities, with consultation with the relevant water services authorities. We've identified a possible infrastructure solution, the financial and time implication for the proposed infrastructure for that, and then the kind of institution that must be done. In terms of the comments, as I said, we focus on the local, northwest, and eastern Cape, and making sure that we do have a kind of funds that are needed. And also we rely heavily on the planning in terms of the all-town studies in South Africa, study done by the planning division in terms of the needs for domestic water supply in South Africa. Coming to the regional bulk infrastructure, the strategic purpose is to develop an oversight and support functions that will ensure the development and operational and maintenance of regional bulk infrastructure in the water sector. These are mostly the water supply, the water services, the regional bulk, and in terms of what is needed by the water service authorities the raw water that be then the treatment thereof, and then it's been within the regional bulk infrastructure distribution system. We've identified all the regional bulk projects requirements, so appropriate integrated planning processes. We've assisted in terms of our department to be very instrumental in the funding of National Treasury and the implementation of the regional bulk infrastructure projects. Also the development of institutional arrangements and capacity to ensure implementation of the effective operations and maintenance of the regional bulk infrastructure. And here is the role of the water service provider, the SAB, and or in conjunction with the water services authorities, Chairperson, and with us as the national water sector leader as a spearhead of this particular project. Focus to date, we had 109 projects that started from financial year 2008 to 2009. Of 8 financial year and 50 projects we implemented, initiated and are in construction, and design or tender stage of its 36 under construction and 14 are in the design and tender stage. So out of the 50, we have 36 in construction, 14 are in design and tender stage, and 42 feasibility, implementation, and ready studies are ongoing, and 17 projects have been completed in the most needy parts of South Africa. Coming now to the project that's been completed, Jefferson, we've completed Kusani Somo Regional Distribution Project 2 of the Water Services Project, the Downers Phase 1 Emergency Project. We also have these are the projects if people see in terms of the project completed. And continue the next slide also, Jefferson, in terms of the project that we completed in the various provinces. And then the budget allocation categories for this particular project.
That seems to be interesting because it seems to be some huge increase in those figures that you can tell us what you're going to do with this money.
This is just a breakdown in terms of how do we allocate the money to per project. I'm coming to this.
Here we are. From this year to next year, you're doubling your budget. From 300 to 1.6.
No.
Double. If you multiply,
28, you know, those are the projects as well already, and these are the money what colleague has been saying in terms of the money that's already been allocated. And the challenge here is about how do we, the implementation, you can call it methodology that they have in terms of spending this particular money, is going to be, in terms of what you're saying, the doubling, so we have to double in terms of the kind of the implementation that they have at the moment. In terms of the capacity.
The point I'm just making is that if you look at where you start, those are
right here. 300, yes.
Then you only go up
100 million. Yeah.
Then you go up 170. Then suddenly you're jumping to 2.8.
Yeah.
Then you double from 8 to 9. So what it means, and you know, obviously, even if it's projects that are there, it's double the money you're aiming. It's double the amount of work for you. And so what I'm asking you to tell us is, do we have the capacity? Have you got it? Obviously, it's committed money to certain projects. But all those things, can you assure us all the bricks are in place to suddenly make sure that you can spend double the amount of money?
Chairperson, in terms of the project implementation, what I would then say that we have to then come in and really make a specific presentation into the region about, in terms of the kind of project, the project schedule, and in terms of how we're going to implement this particular project, and do we have the capacity in South Africa, because all of these particular projects and implementation cannot be done by DWAF in terms of the construction or what, but you need to have here a partnership also with some of the private construction to do the work for us, you know, or whether a kind of form that we have to in terms of the particular, but there is, in terms of projects we identified, is the methodology in terms of the projects and how we're scheduling them and what to make sure that doubling the amount of 1.6 billion to implement within the financial year.
Okay, well then I think you should bring us an input like that.
Yeah.
Explaining. I think this is vital to us as a committee, because if Treasury has got trust enough to double the amount of money, we have to make sure that this department has got the capacity to actually make sure that that money is going to be spent. Because when you've got 800,000, you have the same capacity you had. Now suddenly you're going to have to repent. So if you get us a separate report on that. So continue then.
Thanks, Chairperson, because these are particularly important in those communities that are not served, that are not having water. In particular, to make sure that we achieve South Africa's Millennium Development Goals. And that is why Treasury put the trust in terms of the business. And the allocation and needs, here the biggest the provinces are the Eastern Cape, where we, in terms of the projects, KwaZulu-Natal, and then the Northern Cape. Those are the biggest needs at the moment in terms of what we've identified. And then comes Limpopo and the Western Cape. So these are the needs and allocations that we've identified. In terms of, but it's for us to show now to the committee how these particular projects are going to be implemented and the spending is going to be for these particular projects. Next slide. If you can see in terms of the allocations, what we call the old allocations, and then the kind of allocations that has been the budgets per province, the allocation, from 2010-11 to 2011-12, you can see the biggest budgets go to Limpopo, KZN, and Eastern Cape, respectively 18. So these are the breakdown in terms of the budget allocation for the financial year in terms of the 1.6 billion rand in terms of for the project within these particular various provinces, and then also gives you a breakdown in terms of the 2012 and 2013 budget allocations in terms of the specific. So in total, Chairperson, in terms of the MTF, the expenditure is going to be 4.4 billion rand worth of investment into the regional bulk for South Africa, into the infrastructure value. This is huge investment. do transfer the infrastructure to the water service authorities, the role of infrastructure be maintained and not as it should be. And this is one of the major challenges of this department after 50 years we've encountered. So it's not, we must look in terms of this particular infrastructure that light also. So you must then look in terms of whatever water tells, what it should you then ring fence those kind of terms of resources, finances, to make sure that the operation and maintenance of the country's physical infrastructure and have the necessary skilled people to do the operation and maintenance. So then still provided information and also advanced safety and invitation in those particular areas and all of that. Okay.
And I think, of course, and then, as I say, in your thinking, you'll have to come and convince us. In the future, you say the money, that money is committed, so we can't change that. But in future, I definitely want to see the department has started thinking about other areas that were not serviced in the past.
Yes, yeah.
I want to see that in the thinking.
Thanks, Chairperson. Okay. The next slide. Obviously, there's been a lot of cooperation and alignment with the Department of Office of Governance and Relations Affairs in terms of our needs. Therefore, we had a joint submission and really with them, with the National Treasury, and then also with the settlement, because we don't want the issues of blaming who. You know, that it is a collaborative approach, and obviously the new approach of working coordination together is very critical with this department and a very, very integration approach here. I'm not going to, in terms of what's quoted in the Sunday in the Cape Times, so we just mainly said that is what one of the.
If you talk to me, newspapers are not a good source.
Yeah, no, that is right. But we just say that the issues of where we need to work in the integrated and planned fashion, and this is what government is all about, that is what the outcome based approach is, you know, at all the different spheres of government. Next slide. One of the issues is what we're looking in terms of all the alignment is the projects are motivated by the water services authorities and therefore how they can, you know, to make sure that they are not misaligned, that is our task in terms of the departments in terms of that approach. And then how do we look in terms of the areas of the greatest needs in terms of the funding and the initiation of this new project in those particular areas, and then what are the significant gaps that still exist between the bulk infrastructure and the budget available. They're still there, Chairperson. We have done a calculation in the department in terms of real funding for infrastructure in South Africa, and it's astronomical figures in terms of that are needed. And also, in terms of the wastewater, this excludes your wastewater treatment works and your water treatment works in terms of that refurbishment program. And that by itself is major, major, major things. So here we're talking about the regional bulk. Then you also talk about the MIG, the municipal infrastructure grant in terms of the need for the wastewater treatment works and for the water treatment works at municipal level in terms of that kind of funding. And then we all make a calculation with regard to that. So that by itself, but at least this is good work, and we have at least moved some way in terms of, although there's some constraints on the fiscal or national treasury, but yet the faith that they put in us to give us the money to do it and at least to make the kind of difference for ordinary people in South Africa, this is substantial also. I think that we must have always complained, but also say, on the other hand, the good work that's been done in terms of this particular thing. It's a battle, but we're winning it. We are moving forward. Alignment with other programs, I think Jefferson, what we say that are required, you know, they still can get flagged. The issue of the MIC, this is the RVIC, but I've already touched on this. So this is an issue that the various departments are working on, us and Human Settlement and Department of Corporate Governance, to make sure that there's proper alignment, in particular, you know, how to run assess the shortcomings with regard to MIC and what are still needed in terms of the wastewater and water treatment works. Next slide. I think we're just highlighting the successes. The program has expanded from a 3-year term to a longer term program after, you know, a persistent. Okay. These are the 6 successes.
I don't like to hear what you're
saying. But this is important.
The committee will tell you just now the members you have to tell you.
But we also have to blow our own horn sometimes.
And you've written it down.
Okay. And then this expenditure to date in terms of the regional bulk members, this we and this excludes the committed in terms of what was the voter was saying yesterday, that in terms of the committed, they are still initial comments, let me say there are a couple of things, Chairperson, we know very well. The department seems to have a very good idea of what needs to be done, what is being done currently. It has an asset register, which is excellent. And so the ability to present on, as your topic was, the state of bulk water infrastructure has been actually well achieved. So understanding the problem, knowing the problem is a very, very, very good start. So thank you for that. Just a couple of things, and I'll pick up where the chairperson just ended his comments. I think that discussion on the transfer of regional bulk infrastructure is something that has to be had. I am well aware, I think it's been presented before in this committee way back in 2009, but it's also a figure which the sort of body of engineers always talks about, and that is the extreme lack of capacity amongst local governments with regards to civil engineers, particularly skills in the water sector. The figure, if I'm not mistaken, was that about half of the municipalities in South Africa either only have one or no engineer who can actually work on these type of projects. And so skills in the water sector is a significant problem. And any discussion, obviously, on handing over infrastructure has to go in hand with what are the available skills as a society in the water sector. The link to that, I'm interested in, we've got an idea of what is being spent over the MTF period, indeed is a large amount of money. I'm interested as well in actually how skills impact on our ability to deliver many of these projects. And by that I mean the availability of engineers. As you've said, you haven't started any new projects recently, and your policy is to complete the current projects. And you've given us the financial constraints. Fine, I understand that. How does the skills, or is there a skills constraint that prevents as well the uptake of new projects simultaneously, or alternatively, limits the ability to complete current projects more quickly? Because that would be an interesting discussion to have as well. I would suspect that that is the case. Now, I know you'll tell me you have a water leadership skills thing that's been going on for a decade, almost 2004, and all of that. But it's something that this committee is going to have to engage with you more about. I'm not aware of real progress that has been achieved in that sector. And if we do have a very limited amount of engineers, and of course, it's not just a case of bringing more engineers into the system, because that's a problem the whole of South Africa has, quite frankly, and you're going to compete with your engineers with the electricity sector and all sorts of other roads and infrastructure sector. It really then has to come down to are there better ways, once we certainly hand over these schemes, to manage them, and the water boards, like I agree, is a discussion we have to have. Because they do have some core skills. And certainly the majority of them operate very well. Then, linked, my next comment is actually a specific comment, Dr. Rachers, and that really is just on the Clanwilliam Dam, which has been for a long time, this project of raising the dam wall has been on the cards. And from what I understand, and there are various reasons why it's taken a long time to really get going, but actually there are some safety issues with regard to that dam wall besides the actual need to increase the storage, which is a problem in itself. And so is that dam in its current form after the completion of the work structurally sound at the moment? Because I am worried that it's not structurally sound, and that in fact the Clanwilliam Dam project, as far as I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, I apologize if I am, it's not just a case of raising the wall, but also actually strengthening is this is an issue really with who is leading who. And we had some discussions yesterday on when we discussed climate change, Chair. But who is actually leading who here? Now, you showed us great diagrams of augmentation schemes for particular economic sectors. You pulled out a platinum one, for example. And I certainly associate myself with the Chair's points about obviously the need to remake the apartheid landscape and provide access to people who don't currently have water. And I equally know that water is a strategic resource and we have to keep the wheel of the economy going and we have to create jobs. The point is, when I say who is leading who, though, is because to what extent actually are you following other people's economic decision making? Because that does, let's just put that on the table and say that you are. And we make a few comments about that. I would say you guys have a better idea of what available water resources, where it is, available money over a long-term period. And let me say another thing, you probably have a better idea of the best way to get maximum GDP per liter use, for example. If we remake, use a kind of economic term. You would say, if you want to maximize GDP, this is the best way to do it per liter of water. Now, the leadership thing is, I suspect you are following other people and not leading yourself, or at least not being an equal player at the table. And by what I mean is, if the mining department says, we've got massive amounts of minerals there. Now you've got the energy department saying, we want to put up Medupi, Casile, and Mafuta, and all of that over there. Now, that immediately says, well, I have to, you guys are then come on, and they say, well, you have to augment water from Hartebeest here, across this mountain, through through this. And you might say, well, gee, I mean, providing another sort of whatever X cubic meters to X city for GDP growth here, or for human consumption, or even, as I said yesterday, just maintaining the ecological reserve is the better way. What I'm trying to say is, you being asked to spend money by governments, basically, on certain economic sectors, and I'm sure they're great jobs, that's fine, but certain economic sectors, when actually you might have a better idea of being able to spend money on other things, and you aren't the equal players in this. So I realize it might be a typical thing because you might say, well, political principles should deal with that. But I'm interested in the philosophy behind this, quite frankly. And let me just say one point is, and then maybe you can answer this specifically, is we've got this 20-year energy plan now. Now, I've got my views on it, and I don't like the sort of high carbon intensity of it and all of that, perhaps some people here as well. At least, I want to know, to what extent are you able to say to energy, look, you have committed us to 20 years of keeping Medupi, Kusile, Mafuta, if it gets off the thing, Camden, stations that have come out of mothballs, and you kept all of this going, surely it would have been better to rather do X and Y, other types of projects. So I worry about, and then linked to that is the value chain of energy in South Africa. Because basically, not only do you guys have to cool the power stations, but you also have to provide the water for the removal of coal, the washing of coal, and all that other stuff. And so the value chain in the energy mix in South Africa for water is phenomenal. Because I know that Eskom always like to say they've got a figure, and it's a pathetically low figure. They say we only use X amount of water in South Africa. And you look at it, you go like, small. Smallish. But of course, the energy mineral complex is massive. And then in fact, the energy, you actually have to look at the full cycle of coal, mining, forward with the competing needs as do all countries. And I do worry that often choices in other departments are being foisted on you. You're forced to, and if Treasury give you all this money, well, actually there are competing needs where we could have a debate as a committee with you and say, well, actually, and then come onto your side, quite frankly, in fact, about how we use water over a long-term period. Your Water for Economic Growth report, I forget the exact term, you know what I mean, though. Growth and Development report. You remember last year you came on the committee, got all tense about it, and the fire visa. I think that, of course, is something that that in, well, I know you probably work on it all the time, but it is something which obviously needs constant review. And so I leave it with you, the central part being who's leading who, and the competing needs may not always be the best thing. And I fear that the money you're getting, which is a lot, could also be used on other things. Bearing in mind that, quite frankly, platinum mines can employ X amount of jobs per unit of water, I would say. Probably make a lot more jobs in other sectors. And I apologize if I make it difficult. I'm sure many of these things are your political principles, but there are issues which do have to be aired in this committee. Thank you very much.
Is it good?
Maybe my comment will start from the comment by Honorable Morgan and yourself, Chair, especially on the issue of the skills. Mine, I think, is a direct to say that what plan does the department have to actually attract the engineers? Because I think really this is something that we've been talking about year in and year out. I hear what Mr. Morgan is saying, that you are going to commit, but also it has to do with your plan to attract the skills to come to you. So maybe if we can maybe know about the plan. The other issue that is the comment that the chairperson has made about the Eastern Cape. I see here that we have actually given a number of dams, dams safely rehabilitated. You have got 359 dams, and for me it will be very important to have a breakdown of that per province. In fact, all what you have put there, all those three bullet points, 359 I want to break down per province, 22 I need to break down per province again on that, 36 I need to break down per province. Because that will help us at least to give us a better picture of what is happening out there. You know, one of the very, very sad things that is happening in the Department of Water, Chairperson, is exactly what you have said, that I do not think that after having taken over 16 years now, that we have actually moved to assist the most downtrodden of our people, and it's really painful. That when you go to, I ask this department every time when they come in front of us. I ask them a question last year, I still have not received the answer, to say how many dams do you have in the Eastern Cape? Because I wanted to make a comparison. Because for me the issue is, one of the things that the department can do that will also assist them, than flooding one province with a dam, you find that there are provinces that will have about 5, 6, 7 dams. When there are provinces, they actually have got none. It's really unfair distribution of resources and minerals of the country. If you have got a situation where you have provinces that will have 6, 7, 8 dams, and you've got provinces that have got none, where do you think that those people get water? I once challenged this department last year, Chair, and I'm still going to do that, to say they must drive to the boundaries of the Eastern Cape and see where people get water. Really, it's sad. When you drive to some of the villages, their posh cars can't go there because you need a 4x4, you know, to be able to reach some of the areas, or a donkey cart to be able to reach some of those areas, so they really cannot go there. They can actually do what is called satellite viewing using a helicopter, scanning what they can't get there. For me, that's the reality. Those people, nobody is able to speak for them. And I think members of parliament that are sitting here are elected from the communities that are supposed to be representing those people, and you sit here, you try to share with the officials the plight of those people, and you seem not, to get any headways. I can see here, Dr. Richards, I've gone through, I can see that in your dams identified, some number of Eastern Cape, areas that I see here. And for a change, really, to say about 8-9, areas from the Eastern Cape that have been identified. And my question there, Chairperson, therefore, is that for what financial year or over what period will those dams be, identifying? It's another. But implementing and saying that you are starting is another. And how long is that process going to take? That's one question. I see here, in one of your slides on the introduction. On your introduction slide, page 21. You are talking about rural communities, and this is the point that Masigalala always raises, to say people that, the communities that are staying next to these dams are the very communities that are not benefiting from this water. And I see here in your slide, you are talking about actually identifying those communities and starting to do something about it. And my question, is how long have you been in this department, and how long have you worked in this portfolio? And I want a direct answer there. Because the follow-up question for me is, why are you only identifying that now? After how many years? That one is able to identify that now, that is only now that you are going to be addressing that. When this, I'm sure not only last year in and year out, this has been raised by members sitting here to say the people next to the dams are not receiving water, and yet they just see the water is there, but it's not, they are not getting that water. That's why I want to know how many years have been in this portfolio, Dr. Rita, that you are only being able to identify that, only now, after so many years that the people have been suffering in those communities. You are talking about the scope of work to ascertain the existing infrastructure in the areas and whatnot, determine the possible infrastructure requirement to supply potable water to communities, blah, blah, blah. My question is, how are you going to tackle, this, and over what period of time are you going to be able to do it? Because it is linked to the first question that I have asked, you before. And on your, I think I've made that comment to say, I think one appreciated last that at least the Eastern Cape, is actually identified at last as one of the provinces, some dams are now going to be sent, to be built. But the issue for me is, over what period, how long is that going to be able to take? One last comment for me, Chairperson, is that, we are 9 provinces in South Africa. And in these 9 provinces, you have got different number of population per province. You have got, other provinces will have lesser than the other. And the question, therefore, is, in terms of the distribution of water into these provinces, do you think, as I've indicated, to say you have got provinces that will have more dams and you have got provinces that have got
The report is good, theoretically, and in this conference room. But when you go outside, it's contrast. It's contrast, really. It's not the same as we're getting a report now. Jefferson, I just called two dams that we've been lamenting with since 2009, when we arrived in this fourth parliament, up to date. We spoke about Nangoli Dam. And in the report, it is said Nandoni Dam is completed in 2005. And again, Nandoni Dam is completed in 2008. Which one is the reality between the 2 days? Last year, we were talking about wrong pipes that were bought for this dam. But hence, in the report, we are talking about the completion of this dam. In fact, when we talk about the completion of a project, what are we talking about? Because if we say the project is completed, the project must meet the specifications, the project must do its purpose to the people. We've got 2 days here of completion, 2005, and only then completed, 2008, and only then completed. I need an answer on that. Secondly, the term which raised many problems in this portfolio committee since 2009 and until last year is chosen there. We also need a report of that. How far have we gone? We want to go outside there and report to the masses. It's election now. It's election. Parties are going to run up and down and talk about chosen there. We, as the custodian of the government, will be saying we've been delivered Josini Dam here. The counterpart will say Josini Dam is not delivered. Can I get the clarity on that? And I challenge all parties present here that Josini Dam will be a battlefield for us. But I want you, as an administration, to tell us exactly what is happening about Josini Dam. Chairperson, I also want to know the role of provincial government on bulk water supply to municipalities. Because there are shortage of water at municipalities level. But seemingly another sphere of government, which is provincial government, is very silent about this matter. It seems the challenge of water is between national and local, because the local government is saying national government. National government is saying local government. Who is who? What is the role of this provincial government? Whether education, whether assisting, what is the role? The department must clarify that. In your visibility studies, you have identified many terms that should be erected in this country. But I need a specific prioritization of those dams. Which dams are going to build where and how and when? I need that specification, Jefferson. And on page 7 in your slide, you spoke about number of augmentation projects and you have attached job creation thereof. But there are two projects where you have not attached any job creation, which is Wild River and Haven Muir. You didn't really clarify the job description there. In the map, South Africa is rich about infrastructure, Jefferson, as was indicated by a slide. But, Jefferson, I must say, you must get an explanation. Why do we have a shortage of water? Because according to a slide, really are rich in terms of infrastructure. That infrastructure represents the water that must consume by the public on the ground. But everywhere, people are crying about water. I want an answer. Why are we having a shortage of water then? Then, Chairperson, also the issue of reservoirs and purification plant I need a clarity on that. Who is responsible for doing that? Because some municipalities, they lack of reservoirs. Some municipalities, they lack of purification plants. Who is responsible for those tasks? An answer. And also the maintenance. There are failure of valves and other systems that are circulating water on the ground. Is there any budget available, and how much, if there is any budget, for that task? And Chairperson, I must say there is a decrease of delivery services, as indicated in the slide. Can we get the clarity? What causes this decrease? Because we have got the population is increases. Hence, there is decrease in the delivery of infrastructure. Chairperson, with these few questions, I should think if we can all take care of the rural areas, take care of people who do not have water today, tomorrow, yesterday, and whatever, really will be no more what we are doing as department and the portfolio committee. And the rural communities, you said the rural communities, we have got the resources that you want to start in the rural communities and the networking and so on. That's my last question. Can you explain exactly which province have you started implementing this plan? Thank you very much.
We need to have skilled engineers. You know, there was one time when we attended the Dua conference. It was in Durban, ICC. I happened to be on one group whereby we were discussing this, the slave running into the rivers. Why? Because the engineers that are there for our municipalities are not skilled. Abawazi ukusebenza. Why do we employ them as a government, as a department? There's a lot of union going around. I'm telling you, but my last request, Dr. Reddy, please attend to the people from the rural areas. Could you kindly do us a favor? Because as we're sitting here, we come from the rural areas. That is where we're brought up. We so feel because we experienced this life, and that is why we're out of you when it comes to them not getting. I wonder, what about those taps and pipes which were installed whereby there is no water coming out from those? That is happening with it, it's complete. They go to the rivers, but they've got taps. Nothing doing. Maybe you can explain to us what is happening with the communities from Engong. I just want to make mention of that one. And what is happening the Mkanduyi, whatever, somewhere in the Eastern Cape where they are, that river is infected. Thank you.
Thank you,
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanking the presenter of giving us this list of things that we've been looking for since I arrived in this department. I think the some of the things that in the report mean that you are putting yourself in a risk. You can be sued by people who are getting this disease from water. Are you not considering those things when you give the municipality this huge responsibility? And then lastly, Chairperson, Mohammed Dam on the Highland scheme, always we heard that this irrigation system are stolen. Do you have a program to cap this issue, or do you have you something? Have you arranged something? You got something in place that says, as from now, I think this issue of illegal connection of this irrigation will cap it by doing 1, 2, 3. Those things is the one that a mere person in the street, in the community, when you arrive there and say, yeah, we short of water, but there is water that has been stolen by other people. We need those questions to can clarify the community. Some of the questions they have covered me because I would like to be interested in this one of the Northwest dams. Because sometimes where I stay, we stay 2 months without getting water. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I'd like to congratulate for this new year for the new department. Because last year we see this department always is acting the PG, acting PDG, acting CEO, CFO, or suspend. So I wish for the this year, all the like the, our chairperson said, everything get a report from the follow up, keep this committee. But I'd like to also appreciate for today's presentation. I think it's a fully detailed insight, like the other colleagues say, in lovely for the page 21, or lovely which page. But I think it's you have the success, but I didn't see you have the challenge. I don't know, you got the whole detail, but you haven't got to mention how you can fish in for the challenge for this infrastructure by your presentation. So I let some few questions asking to the department. From your success, your success is page 43, is 0.5. You say the new job created is about 6,017 jobs. I'd like to know this, which financial year when you get this new job created for 6,000 jobs. I wish this one you can indicate clear. Because from the page 7, your major water resource is the infrastructure development. If you see the page 7, this page. Well, this inside that is a job creation, I think it's under the 2,600. Then some that is this inside the dam, you haven't mentioned for direct job. You can see that your slide. You see this one is under this. I think it's this job by river. Eastern subsystem. You haven't mentioned for how many jobs you directly create. And under this thing, Adimbo, this one of 10 million the cubic meter for water, but you haven't highlighted how many jobs you have. So you call that is I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 projects inside, 2 projects that you haven't highlighted, how many jobs you direct. Then my question is, you want me to carry on?
You carry on the
other. Yeah,
I say
service. Yeah, okay.
Don't worry about the interruption.
Yeah.
2015, then this total is about 18 million cubic meters. You spend for 16 billion rand. Then you direct a job only for 800 job directed. If we say example for the 18 million cubic meters, it's a big amount. You come to the other big amount for the Via River. Via River, you make 160 million cubic meters. Then you only spend 2.7 billion. Then no job creation indicate. So I'd like to know how you can make this table show to the committee. Then how this amount come from? Because it's a big amount, the 160 million cubic meter is a big amount of water. Then you only spend 2.7 billion. This will be 2011, this year complete. Because you highlighted for the new budget allocation. Because you success said from the 2007-2008 from 300 million up to the 2015, you get the 2048 million. Say you are happy this success because you get the more budget. 2013-2014, you get the 2418 million from the 300 million 2007-2008. So I don't know this one. This means is you get more money. It means you can success because I get more money. So you are very proud that you get more money for the budget. So I like to know how you can proud for the league. Then I think this major what we saw the infrastructure together with this one. It's cover for new job creation for 6,017 jobs. Is it involved inside or not? I'd like the department also can show to me. And then we come in the page 8 and page 9 for the whole project. Your available budget and the shortfall. Some money you say came from the loan. I don't know, this money loan is from the which way you get this loan came from where. Because you available for budget by the U.S. Department, but the other money came from loan. Some of the money you didn't indicate this money where came from. Like the Holy Man River, you need a 16 billion, but you only available for 3 billion. Other 12 billion, where money came from? Because you didn't indicate for to be from the loan or from the summary. So I like this one, can the public can get the report to us. So I thank you, Chairperson. I think I have my questions.
We are going to, when I give a summary, you're going to see we are going to get some substantial more work on this. I'm going to ask a whole lot of stuff, so I want to
talk generally about the dam safety rehabilitation program, and particularly with the Eastern Cape. I have not broken it down in the slide performance, but Jefferson, I've made presentations here before. We have given it the performance. I will provide it again in the report, the dam safety rehabilitation program performance, what the amount of money we spent.
There
are many dams. We've got 13 at the moment which we're doing. We spent so far 350 million rand on some of those dams. I do have the names here in terms of what it's all about, because then I, you know, some of the information we could have. I could make the basic presentation into that. Yeah, but I can give it per province. We can have a breakdown into the dams, what we've spent, when we started, and when we completed. That is available, Jefferson, and we've got Excel spreadsheets and all of that and presentations that we do that. So that I can provide. I will give that. The other aspect in terms of the general issue of the rural communities. Most of our projects that we have at the moment, Jefferson, as I can say that, is for the benefit of the rural communities in terms of water supply, the regional bulk, etc. And we are working there, and we are visiting those particular projects. And staff is there, and we do work the dust and walk in dust into those, as we said last time. And if you look in particular, if I can use for an example, the project of that we're doing, the Ulifant River water project, thing that I've shown, and we are focusing on those particular communities where we need to supply water. It's unacceptable that people are still going to rivers and having to collect water, and even what we say with animals. That, in terms of the priorities that we're focusing on, in terms of those people that are still need to get into the project. In addition to what I presented here today, but also where we have the infrastructure in the rural communities is to, with the regional bulk, is to get the water out of that in terms of the bidding. There's a specific program that we say that all of the dams that we've already identified and what it's going to be costing, and that we have done, and then obviously that must go for a bidding process. But all the money that we do have is not on our budget at the moment. And we do have, in terms of the money, in terms of the presentation that I've listed, in terms of the money that's been allocated over the MTA for the region about program will address some of the water supply to these communities. It's not we're not working as fast. We cannot work as fast as possible that we could or that we want to. But we are doing that in terms of the regional bulk, and there are more to come. But it's depending on the availability and how fast. And you have asked a relevant question: if we have all this money, do we have the capacity and the skills to implement all of those projects? Same thing as we give in tomorrow, as I did a hypothetical question, 50 billion rand to do all to communities. Do we have those capacity to do that in South Africa? That's a major question. And that is, we understand that. There are other projects like the ones that we're still looking at, and we're planning, we're working with, Mutsi. There are lots of other things in the POPO, and etc. So we must understand that the capacity of the department to deliver and the capacity to spend. So that is also on the one hand. And through my colleague Tandeka, in terms of the implementation of and the other people in the department, is to implement and to identify where the communities will be identified, what it's going to mean, what's going to cost, what type of projects we're going to implement, and how long it's going to take. So there is the issue of planning, project scheduling, and the commissioning of the particular project. If I can put it in a nutshell, I want to emphasize these are multi-year projects also, Jefferson. We can't, it's about the quality of the project, the sustainability of the project. You can't just simply put it overnight into the ground. And that we must understand. It's heavy equipment, big machinery that we must use, and it's a lot of testing and engineering work. So the issue of skills also come in. Skills in terms of technical skills engineers, the issue of financial in terms of capacity to deliver, and then lastly is the sustainability operations of the particular project. So we are delivering in terms of what we are putting in terms of our strategic plan. The other aspect that I wanted to say that in terms of Mrs. Kasana project, that the dam itself, there's a difference between the dam and the associated infrastructure of Nandoni and Modoni. The dam itself was completed in 2005. The distribution or the treatment work was completed in 2008. The associated infrastructure in terms of the distribution network, myself reported here, yes, we have had problems with the glass fiber reinforcement pipes. What we've got now is a contingent allocation on our books in terms of replace all of those particular pipes. We were already starting with Sekos and Nyaka. In terms of that distribution work, we've started. We are now going to appoint a service provider to do the pipe for Nyaka and to deliver water to this package. And it's the same for Nandoni. We're going to start now with a new financial year. Over the two financial years, we've got 550 million to do the Nandoni. It's on our. The case in terms of the pipes itself, in terms of the service providers, and those matters is subjudicated in terms of a court case with regard to that. So I cannot report further than that. But we will be starting the new financial year, putting new pipes, service provider to within the next financial year to clear all the issues and providing. And there's a high priority list to Toyando and the surrounding communities, and we then work south, and we've been looking at more than one service provider that as fast as possible that we can work to supply the whole people within the vicinity of Nandoni. We can provide the information, Chairperson, in terms of that, but I will arrange to speak to you, but we have moved in terms of that. The role of the provinces is to be the supplier of water, national, is to be us. It's what we call the issue, the intergovernment relationships in terms of how we implement these projects. But there is a mechanism in terms of and making sure that provinces are also involved, and particularly the Office of the Provinces. I myself report the number of the provinces in terms of the project and liaise with them, but obviously there's a direct link in terms of the World Service component with the Department of Corporate Governance. But there are institutions now, committees being created in terms of the role of the provinces and bringing them on board in terms of the services provider. I can then generally talk about the job creation. There was job creation that was asked by a number of members. The aspect in terms of pressure or the Vaal River East subsystem optimization project, the project comes to an end now this year. But in terms of the direct jobs that were created on that system, in terms of the slide, why we have not put it in there, because the project is now being winding up the project, but there was an opportunity of about plus minus 800 jobs that was created on that project in terms of the 2006 billion. But what we must understand here is that the perspective is an augmentation project, and it's not in terms of to get more water through to Eskom and to Sasol on the Mpumalanga Western Cyclone. And therefore it is in that view, it was done by private contractors under the auspices of TCTA with the special purpose people for the implementing of this project, and not by Dwarf itself. But those are the jobs that created. For the work on the other hand, of the main, this is an input, that's a project implemented by the department itself. And the dam has been built by our own construction unit. And therefore the number of jobs, the direct jobs in terms of people that have been employed by the department, and therefore the job reflected. The regional distribution network, there are two components there that we will be part of that, and then also there will be for TCTA to get some of the funding to deal and to implement that particular project also, and therefore other jobs will be created through the private sector. So therefore, and it's new, it's what we can call a greenfields project, where the other one is a much more powerful project, it's a much more augmentation in that context, I can engage the members in terms of the further explanation of the one in terms of the value of the jobs and the number of jobs created versus the amount spent on that. I just think in terms of the operational maintenance, the refurbished budget, in terms of the water trading entity presentation yesterday, the money in terms of the charges that we, the water charges or the tariff that we set, the money that comes from the water trading entity, those are the money that we then do the operation and maintenance for our refurbishment, etc. And that we then budget accordingly for our clusters to make sure that we have that money available for the expenditure in terms of the operational maintenance of our infrastructure. That has been clearly within the budget of the water trading entity, and that we can provide. Jozini Dam and the others, Mamsingilala, is that you're correct, the money has been allocated. It's part of those projects in terms of the regional bulk that we've been. The aspects that what we will look at in terms of the starting of that particular project, it was supposed to start already in terms of the Jozini, and I want to find out what its status, why have we not break the ground in terms of the project of Jozini, and that money is on the budget of the department and to spend, and particularly for the access of the communities surrounding the surrounding the dam, because we fought very hard for that money to get onto the books of the department to make sure that we provide the communities of Jozini. So I and we have personally last year reported on that. So I just wanted to follow up whether the project has started or when the project will really start, because the in terms of the project progress, they have not given me that kind of information. So I will personally give you an answer with regard to that project, because it's one of the main projects. And in terms of what I've also said, in total, what we have proposed, that in terms of the budget and the business plan to supply all the communities is about 1 billion that we need. But we've only, at the moment, we've got a plus minus 100 million to start the project and to see that how best we can the communities closer to the dam, supply them immediately, and then focus on what we call the circle, how we move forward to supply them. I just wanted to talk about the issue about illegal water use and the question about Mahali Dam that's been basically, you can say, let me call it in the corner, been stolen, you know. I think that my colleague Helga can talk about the issues of illegal water use and enforcement and so forth. Then lastly, Dr. Wang, in terms of the challenges of the water infrastructure, we do have challenges. There's a number of challenges. The issues of skills are there, the issues of operation maintenance. Throughout my presentation, I made it clear the issues of budget, etc., etc., and the issue of the capacity to deliver. And those are the things that we're aware of, and that was what we presented, and what I've also said throughout my presentation, and also some of the presentations of yesterday. The job creation is over a number of financial years in terms of the project. It's not only because if you create, say, for instance, those projects runs over, say, 3 years, but there's also a peak period that you have the maximum number of job creation, and then the project comes to completion, that you decommission, then obviously those number of jobs are being reduced, and then all you move then the people to another project. So it is not for one financial year, but and in total, those are the number of jobs that were created over the span of the projects. And it was also the same, I've already answered on the Olifants River, the Vaal River ESAP system project, and in terms of the Olifants River and ask you, Chairperson, just the issue of the loans. Currently, DCTA, and this is a question, is that what is the kind of institution that government needs to implement its water infrastructure? So at the moment, we're using DCTA as a special purpose vehicle to fund some what we call off-budget projects. That's what we call bankable projects or financial liable projects. But with it comes other challenges and other questions that come with that. And we've implemented a number of projects at the moment. So therefore, they go to the open market in terms of wherever they can get the best rate and the competitive rates, the best for us to implement those particular projects. The Burke Water Dam here, the Burke Cover Dam here in Western Cape was implemented through that special purpose vehicle by TCTA, go and look at the loan, and then through the tariffs, you know, in terms of the redeeming of the loan, then pay back into the TCTA level. Presented also yesterday by my colleague, Zandile Mate, in terms of the money that we pay, the collection in terms of the revenue that we pay to TCTA to redeem the debt in terms of the loans that they do have. And these are coming from kind of whether it's investment banks or normal commercial banks or capital market that they got the loan from in terms of then competitive interest rate to implement those particular projects. And that is how they implemented on behalf of the department. We are implementing the Fresha project, the Makolo Crocodile Waste project, and then part of the Ulifans River water distribution project also through that. And then also they can also do the Spring Road Dam in KZN, or the Moyen Gedi scheme through this off-budget funding. Because we don't have all the money on budget or from Treasury, because Treasury say where we can, through tariffs, we collect the tariffs to pay for this kind of infrastructure, then obviously the water users have to pay for that, and therefore the collection and the payment of the tariffs through the TCTA. I hope I've captured most of that I could. Chairperson, if there's something
necessary. The Ken Williams stuff to ask.
Oh, the Ken Williams. Ken Williams is twofold. So for us to raise the dam, obviously we have to do some dam safety to stabilization of the infrastructure. And that is part of the design in terms of that. And with that, we've already identified through the dam safety report in terms of the strengthening of the structure and also strengthening the foundation. To enable us to raise the dam.
Can you sustain a flood?
No. Let's hang on. Yeah, but I think what we must do is, when it comes to those kind of details, as I've indicated, I'm very happy that we go in and actually sit down with the department and deal with it. And I say that for all the kind of specific issues that we're raising. Look, I want to pull together the end of this. We have numerous topics still, and we only have half a day left, so I think we should pull some of this together. And this is going to be one of our priority areas during the year. And I'm going to ask for a whole lot of things to be done for us to put this on a new footing. You know, I think you should look at government. I think it was towards the second part of Mr. Mbeki's presidency that there was a shift in government in terms of spending towards infrastructure. The whole idea was that even if the private sector was not necessarily kicking in to the extent it should, that through infrastructure and so on, government can play a major role in terms of how you start a upward surge in your economic growth. And of course that translated into the World Cup and to roads being fixed up and so on. It seems to me that now that those things are gone, that government has shifted gears towards 1 year, the regional bulk infrastructure has doubled. So in government, there is a huge expectation towards this department. And it seems to me that we're going to have to rethink completely this section of the department, which is really your heart, and how it's structured, how it operates, and so on. Because you cannot tell me that if you get double the budget suddenly, you can just be business as usual. Otherwise, you've just been sitting doing nothing all the time. I imagine that we're going to have to really, really look at how that. So that's the context in which I'm going to ask for certain things. Firstly, you know, I'm one of those believers that when you make policy, and when you make policy decisions, you have to do it with the best possible scientific information available. A lot of government all over the world is made on assumptions. The kind of thing that Mr. Morgan was raising quite correctly, that sometimes you're driven in terms of policy and your choices because there are certain pressures. Firstly, certain things exist. Apartheid existed, it thought in a certain way, it built infrastructure in a certain way, the country is structured in a certain way, and therefore it's easier just to fit into that paradigm because it doesn't take any special thinking, it just takes trying to do. Now, I think what we need is, you may have this, but I feel that you probably don't. I think that we need a database, an audit, of the kind of information one needs in the water department to make policy decisions. For example, I would start wanting to see that this department has an analysis. If you take a particular area, take Limpopo, or take a catchment area, probably for you people much easier. What we would want to see is in that catchment area, this is the profile of the area. It has 10 million people, it has these kind of industries, it has this kind of water supply, this is the present of needs, and over 5-10 years, this is how we project this thing to play itself out. You need all the data for those different stages. And I think, you know, I've seen this South African survey 209-210. Here already is some interesting data, but this is more in terms of services and not in terms of what I'm saying. Although this information is also going to be vital. For example, yeah, and this document will give you quite good indication of what free water has been given to how many households, what kinds of water has been given, so on and so on. So there is clearly some information available somewhere on some of this. But what I am suggesting we start looking at is creating a specific integrated database on all water issues, both in terms of its availability, in terms of what it is to serve, and in terms of the service of it. The second issue I think we have to look at, and you have to provide us a report with, is I think we need to relook this and see what is the optimal institutional arrangement to handle things. You see, I mean, as I said, it's like a camel. Mm-hmm. You know, then the TCTA does something. The TCTA goes and borrows money. In another instant, it actually is the project management. Then you have your own team that does the work. I mean, now that's fine. That's all possibilities. But clearly it's a very fragmented way of working. And what it is, as a need arises, you say, where's the best place to deal with this? And so on. What I think is we need serious thinking on. And if we want to be taken seriously, and if the government is starting to push major money in our direction, 6 billion rand over the next 3 years, in infrastructure, then we have to think differently how we're going to structure that thing. So we need you to look at the optimal institutional arrangement for this. I know that previously there was an infrastructure bill, agency bill that came here that was withdrawn. I don't know if that's the answer. I haven't really read through it. I know it was removed from Parliament more for technical and political reasons in terms of who had been consulted, not necessarily because of its content. I always did what the Buddha did in Clan William and built a whole lot of canals up all these farming areas in these little towns and create a whole area of development which becomes a major exporter of fruit and all that stuff. If you start thinking like that, then you'll start identifying parts of the country that have the ability to sustain them. You know, if you build a dam somewhere, you know how many things happen? You know how many things happen? Suddenly water sport is an issue. Tourism is an issue. You start creating a whole lot of feed-off economies and so on. So, this issue of actually seeing, and I'm actually not necessarily blaming, because I do think you know, when you came out of a part that one is stuck in a certain paradigm, there's the kind of pressures Mr. Morgan raises of the ESCOMs and those that need water. So I don't blame about that, but what it does mean is that you don't have a department that's necessarily on top of its pen. So this report is actually to start looking at those possibilities, which brings me to the next report as well. You see, you're now telling us that none of this is new projects. Okay, so we can't really do the things we just mentioned there. But in the new projects, we can now. So what you need to bring a report to us is of this extra money that's now being made available, how much of it's new projects, and what is the department's thinking on it? And part of the thinking is, I would hope that you set down a set of criteria that you as a department will use from now on, where you're going to create new water infrastructure. And the kind of issues that I've raised around an area like Transkei, I hope, will be part of those criteria. Obviously, the things that Mr. Morgan has raised is also going to be part of the criteria, because you have to look at where the economy is, and you have to. But the problem is, it can't just be that he has mentioned. It has to be some new thinking as well. So this whole new project, how you want to spend your money, and the criteria you're going to use to decide that, I think we would like to engage you with it and actually start helping you to see how you're prioritizing where your next phase of new projects going to be. The next point is the one that the DG has raised. I think you should put together a proposal for us on how we see O&M in the future and how you would like to see the department actually shift gears on this issue. I imagine you'll also have to look at those structures that are outside of you, like the municipalities, and what ideas you want to use there, because that is a major problem. So if you start looking at a proposal and a guideline and a policy that is going to guide you there, that would be important. You know, I also want you to bring us very quickly a report and identify these dams of yours where people live close to. It's usually in Bantustans or townships that were not part necessarily of white areas where this happens. Where you kind of just draw a Chinese line because there's a dam here and this administration fell there. You didn't provide pipelines and so on. So any dams that we have at the present, except the one you mentioned where you now, you've got the court case and so on, where we have people living and they are not benefiting from those dams and so on, I want to know which of those are they and what plans the department is putting in place to rectify that very quickly. I can't imagine there would be too many of them, I hope not, but if there are, then we would like to have that as well. On the audit skills, I think we can easily receive a report from you. Although someone said that you've had this program, I think it's Mr. Morgan, for many, many years, and it's difficult for us to see what has happened about it. But I think you can provide us with more information about it. But I do think there's one area
sometime we'll come back, you can make a note of it. At some time you're going to have to come back and look at this pricing tariff thing more carefully. I saw there is a report here that this committee has engaged and approved the tariff. So maybe you will know that we're going to engage quite thoroughly on that issue and on the discussion on that issue. But I don't necessarily have to do it now. Then there's just two technical things you can add to your list, DG. Firstly, this diagram of your personnel, it gives us the different structures, but it doesn't give us what staff, how many, like, environment is given us. It tells you exactly what staff components are in each of them. So that's just a thing. And then I want a list of all source documents in the department that you think are vital for us in taking our work forward. I have received a whole lot of very interesting reports. Green drop, blue drop. Then I've received a whole lot of these interesting ones here. So there is a lot of source documents. Okay, this department actually writes documents. I imagine it's consultants that do it, so I'm going to check that out. But they've got a lot of documents they draw. It will be useful if we, as members, actually can get a list of source documents. Of all the documents that are still in use and of value in this department, so that one can actually then see how we use it. Now, that is a whole lot of stuff. Some of these things are going to take longer to do, to create a proper national database and so on. But what I do expect is I expect regular reports to the committee to tell us how far you are with those things. You can't, you know, I had the privilege to do the criminal review, and it's stunning once you start pulling all this information together what you don't know. There are huge parts of the system that you just do not know how they operate and so on, because no one has taken, for example, in the criminal justice system, no one ever took the effort to try and take all the information available from different departments to put it together in one place and then analyze it. And then you get a result, you say, wow, how can it be this bad? And everyone that you show, if you show them their own statistics and say to them, this is what you're producing, they say, no, but where you get it? I said, but you get it from you. You exactly, you are asking the question, I got it from you. Because what that is, we do statistics just because of the sake of it. We are not doing statistics to properly analyze and then make policy decisions from it. It's there just as. Now, what I'm asking you to do is to start drawing together the possibility and looking at a design of how you create such a database and how you pull this information. And then, of course, the next issue is how you create the capacity to analyze. That's probably even more important, because that is the, and how you then, that has to be part of the department's capacity. Because then if you make proposals, then people take you seriously on these issues. Okay. So those are all the extra tasks we give you. Out of this. Does anyone want to just add something to what does this or subtract from it? Happy with that? Okay. After lunch,